Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jimbo Project Podcast, where I talk movies, award race season, and what upcoming movies to look forward to. But before we do that, for this first episode, I wanted to talk about the writers and actors strike that threatened this year's movie slate. So this past year, the Screen Actors Guild and the Writers Guild of America both went into strike with the looming threat of AI. Obviously, creativity was threatened during this time period. Artificial intelligence has really smartened up over the past year or two, to the point where if you were to put a script or an idea into ChatGPT, you can get B-, B-grade content out of it, which threatens what writers do, what actors can do when it comes to posthumous appearances in television. So they decided to strike through negotiations. So this was the first strike since 2008 when the union, they were on strike for 14 weeks. Before that, SAG, the last time they struck, is that the way you say that? I'm not sure. But last time they struck was in 1980. But this is the first time in 63 years that they struck together. Usually these things, you know, I think the visual effects department hasn't been through a real strike, and that is also looming with the threat of AI. You know, you want the human element when it comes to these stories, and you're not going to be able to get that with artificial intelligence. And writers know that, actors know that, so they decided to strike. So now was as good a time as any, but during that time, there's no actors writing, there's no writers writing. Bunch of movies got delayed. Movies that, you know, that we saw this year, but also, you know, for the 2024 season, a lot of projects got delayed. So we have stuff like Deadpool 3 was delayed. Challengers, which is a 2024 award race darling, was also delayed. Dune 2, which was originally a 2023 release, which has been probably the movie of the year for 2024 so far. So, you know, it took up a large portion of award season. It started back in November of 2023. That's when the actors started striking. The WGA started striking around July. So this kind of threatened the way that we looked at this year's slate of movies. Usually during this time, certain movie productions, certain movie studios, they tend to hire outside material. They kind of lean towards scripts that people glossed over. They hire writers that aren't really getting their chance. And usually we see a dip in content and productivity. But luckily, it took around 6 to 8 months, but they were able to negotiate it through. WGA members approved this strike with a vote of 97.9%. That means that they were very united in their stance, and they put a lot of pressure in Hollywood, in these movie production studios. So, you know, fair credit to them. We got a nice batch of movies this year. And I also wanted to talk about this year's lineup of movies compared to last year's. Now, a lot of people last year truly thought that this was a down year in movies, although I couldn't disagree more. Not a down year, but a year in which it was very top heavy. And usually in the Best Picture nominations, you get around 10 nominations. And I think that there was 5 or 6 that were strong and 4 that were left out. So last year we had, for our Best Picture nominees, Top Gun Maverick, which was incredible, Woman Talking, The Banshees of Inisherin, Triangle of Sadness, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar, The Way of Water, Elvis, and Tar. Now, this is a very strong lineup of movies. Notably, Top Gun Maverick, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which did amazing in last year's award season, won basically everything. The Banshees of Inisherin, incredible movie. Triangle of Sadness, Avatar, Tar was really good. These are really good films. It was more so that outside of these films, you kind of start reaching a little bit with the Elvises, which, you know, was the breakout role for Austin Butler, but not really that good of a movie when it comes to acting. Baz Luhrmann was the director for that film, and he's a very showy director. He's the same director that did Great Gatsby. He's a very visual director. So the movies look great, but their plots, they have huge gaps. Like in Elvis, there's huge gaps in that movie where we kind of just time skip into different eras and we completely gloss over, you know, looming, you know, like just plot points that we just never get tied into. Like we never tie into those. But I never even saw a woman talking. Just because I heard that it was a very slow movie, which I like slow movies, I do. Probably should have got around to watching that one, but I didn't hear great things. It's the only one of these movies that I haven't seen. All Quiet on the Western Front, very good, but it's repetitive. We've seen these movies win awards. All Quiet on the Western Front is a movie directed by Matt Grunert. That movie was about World War II. You know what I'm saying? We've seen this iteration of this movie win awards. 1917, most notably, which lost out to Parasite. These movies are good. They're just, we've seen them before. We want to see innovation like Everything Everywhere All at Once, or restoring a feeling like Top Gun Maverick did. But this year we had a very, very deep set of movies. There was even some movies that we probably could have had in this batch of in this year's slate for award season. So for this year, 2024, we have Oppenheimer, the Christopher Nolan movie, The Holdovers, Mark Johnson's return to directing, American Fiction by Cord Jefferson, his first movie, incredible movie, The Zone of Interest by James Wilson, Barbie, box office darling, incredible movie, Greta Gerwig. Poor Things, that is the Yorgos Lanthimos project. Past Lives, another great, it's just a romantic movie. I was about to say romantic comedy, but it's just a romantic movie, and it's a very endearing movie. Anatomy of a Fall, incredible French film. Maestro by Bradley Cooper. And Colors of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese. This is a deep year in movies. We also had a lot of A-list directors directing this year. We had Christopher Nolan, who we love Christopher Nolan. He has made box office movies. He has made the Dunkirk, which was a technical marvel. Whenever you get a list like of Christopher Nolan, of Martin Scorsese making movies, Bradley Cooper, Yorgos Lanthimos. I know this is Bradley Cooper's, you know, first movie since A Star Is Born, but his movies recently have been getting a lot of traction when it comes to award season. So we had a lot of directors make movies this year. There was some nominations that were interesting. I was mostly surprised that Margot Robbie didn't get a nomination for Best Actress, just because her performance was very, very riveting. She is the heart and soul of that movie. She's the reason that movie works. As much as the brand Barbie works, I think Margot Robbie being the lead is just goes hand in hand. And, you know, we saw America Ferrera, who was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. While she's great in that movie, she's a side character, which it is a supporting actress role, but she's not the heart and soul the way Margot Robbie is. And yeah, Greta Gerwig, even for for director, I thought that was a huge snub. Some movies that I really liked. First of all, Showing Up was a movie that was made this year by one of our better directors, Kelly Reichardt. She is an indie darling. She makes a lot of indie films. But this was a movie about, if you're a creative or you're into making stuff, just the idea of writer's block, the idea of really making something and what goes into that mentally, how it weighs on people around you. I thought it was an incredible movie. And I thought it was worthy of some consideration. I was very surprised that Coleman Domingo was, and what upcoming movies to look forward to for this year, 2024. But before we do that, for this first episode, I wanted to talk about a few things. I want to talk about the writers and actors strike that threatened this year's movie slate, as well as this year's lineup of movies, this year's awards, what we'll be talking about in episodes to come. And I wanted to dedicate this episode at the tail end to talk about notable omissions from key categories and, you know, what I would have replaced them with. You know, this was a really good year in movies. This was a deep year in movies compared to last year's. I think last year's was very top heavy and, you know, we kind of struggled to get to that 10 best picture nominations, but we got there. This year, it was hard to come up with 10 good movies because of how deep that list was. But like I mentioned before, I did want to start with the strike, the WGA strike, and the SAG strike, the Screen Actors Guild and the Writers Guild of America. So this summer, or summer of 2023, the Screen Actors Guild, along with the WGA, announced that they were going to strike. Over 98% of the writers and actors agreed to these strikes. So this was also the first time that in 63 years that they struck together. The SAG last struck in 1980, whereas the WGA struck in 2008, which was a lot of TV writers. But, you know, a lot of people ask, why are they striking now? Well, now there's a looming threat, which is artificial intelligence. We've seen it become all the rage for the past year with ChatGPT, with a few other softwares that are really advanced. We've always had some semblance of artificial intelligence, but what has increased this past year was how advanced it's gotten. I once saw a YouTube video of someone putting in an idea into one of these artificial intelligence softwares and telling them to come up with a screenplay. Once you read that screenplay, it is not bad. It is a B grade, B minus level content. It's scary that this just came from a computer. That being said, in a capitalistic society, once you get directors and production studios, that their main incentive is money, we can cut costs. We don't have to pay these writers as much. If we can come up with B-level content and just let them handle it, that is saving money in our pockets. That looming threat, the Writers Guild of America struck for good reason. They're also criminally underpaid. There was a rant at a Golden Globes this year, which was one of the writers for The Bear, the hit FX TV series. They won an award, and he was saying how he had to scrounge around money to get a flight to accept an award for being the best writer this year. That is how, you know, troubling it has gotten. But these are the times that we're living in. The Screen Actors Guild, they struck, which these are you know, the actors, they struggle also with the looming threat of AI and, you know, being underpaid. You know, obviously the top of the top, creme de la creme, is always going to get paid, but that's a very few percentage compared to the vast majority of these writers and these actors. So they came in and they struck because of artificial intelligence, especially when it comes to posthumous people. So a lot of estates got into these strikes with a lot of, you know, people that die, having their body come back without their consent. That's been a big problem, or something that directors have talked about or production studios have talked about. And, you know, people don't necessarily agree with that. And the negotiations actually started from March 20th of 2023, which asserted that compensation for screenwriters had been adversely affected by the rise of streaming services. This is another problem, is that with so much content, you kind of get, and certain algorithms, you get people losing their jobs because there's not certain viewers or ratings that really fit into this algorithm. So they're ruining lives, technically, because if you're, you know, you're stopping projects that are getting viewership, but they're not tuning in the way you want them to tune in. There's been a 83% rise in cancellation of shows. So, you know, when it comes to streaming services, yes, you can streamline whatever you want, but does it adversely affect the people that are creating these shows? That was another huge issue that came into, as well as in the SAG strikes, that factors in too. People put their heart and soul into these projects, and they have the human element. That's another big, big component. Because like I mentioned before, you can make B-level content, B-minus, C-plus content, which people will watch with AI, 100,000%. What they don't have, though, they don't have the ability to make it an A+. And ultimately, the stagnation of content, which I feel like that we're living in right now, but that's neither here nor there, but the stagnation of content is really, really the biggest threat to Hollywood. So, you know, TV staffs, more writers are working at minimum, regardless of experience. You know, they're working a minimum for fewer weeks or in many rooms. Showrunners are left without a writing staff to complete certain seasons. So it becomes tough in the life of a writer, and they're essential to what we do in Hollywood. They are what these actors are putting to screen. But in November, they struck a deal, and they were able to get everything, you know, kind of sorted out. The deal included an increase for mandatory minimums. So more than $1 billion was funded in new wages and benefit funding, and a new $40 million residual bonus, 75% of which will go towards payments for the cast of streaming shows that reach certain benchmarks of success. So you change the benchmarks of success. Fitting an algorithm is no longer the basis of why a show gets canceled or not. It is the content. Certain stories are rushed because, hey, we need to put the big juicy plots in season one so that we can be renewed for season two. Season two, you kind of run out of ideas because we left everything for season one. We rushed it. It is fundamentally wrong to do that to storytelling. Certain stories need time to get into their, you know, their main plot points. And you're taking that away with the way it was done before. But luckily, they were able to strike a deal. That being said, there was a lot of movies that were delayed by this strike. Most notably, you know, you have Dune 2, which was supposed to come out in 2023 in March, right as the month that started the writer's strike. But, you know, once you can't release a movie once you're in strike, especially a movie that is so richly filled in plot, like Dune 2. You know, Deadpool 3, also delayed. Challengers, a lot of these movies were supposed to come out 2023, 2024, have been delayed for about a year or two. So, you know, it was a critical time that, you know, that we went through. But luckily, we were able to go through with it. That being said, Oscar nominations for 2024. So it's a great year of movies. So for Best Picture, there's Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan movie. The Holdovers, which was directed by Alexander Payne. Great film. American Fiction, this is Corey Jefferson's first movie. Incredible movie. The Zone of Interest, this one was made by Jonathan Glazer. Barbie, Greta Gerwig, Margot Robbie, box office hit, number one movie in 2023. Poor Things, Yorgos Lanthimos project, which very, very good movie and has, we'll talk about it, but it's gotten a lot of buzz heading into award season. Past Lives, which was, who directed this movie? Celine Song, great movie. This is a movie, I was going to say, you know, a rom-com, but it's not necessarily comedic. It's more just romantic. It is, it harps on the idea of love, what love is. The Anatomy of a Fall. This one was another, this is a great watch if anybody gets a chance. This is by Justin Trier. The Maestro, which is Bradley Cooper. It's a good movie. I like it. Killers of the Flower Moon by Martin Scorsese, the legend himself. This is a great year of movies. I actually want to go down through all the nominations just because we're going to be talking about them for a bit. So Best Director is Christopher Nolan, Justin Trier for Anatomy of a Fall. Christopher Nolan was Oppenheimer, by the way. Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon. Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things. Jay Glazer for The Zone of Interest. Best Supporting Actress, Davin Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. America Ferrera, Barbie. Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple. Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer. Jodie Foster in Naiad. Best Supporting Actor, Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer. He's probably going to win. Most likely he's won everything else coming into it. But Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon. Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction, and Ryan Gosling in Barbie. Let me see. What else do we have? We have Best Actor, which is Cillian Murphy in Oppenheimer. We have Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers. We have Bradley Cooper in Maestro, Coleman Domingo in Rustin, which, you know, interesting. I'm just listing out the nominees because we're going to talk about them. Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. That is the list for Best Actor, Best Actress. Emma Stone in Poor Things. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon. That's going to be very neck and neck. Annette Bening in Naiad. Carey Mulligan in Maestro. And Sandra Hüller from Anatomy of a Fall. By the way, Sandra Hüller is incredible. I didn't even know her about her until this upcoming year. In the Best Picture noms, she was nominated. She's in two of the movies that are nominated for Best Picture. Anatomy of a Fall and The Zone of Interest. And she's incredible in both of them. She could have been a Best Actress nod in two movies, which hasn't been done in a very, very long time. But these are very, very good films. I do think when it comes to, you know, people that weren't nominated, Margot Robbie didn't get nominated for Best Actress. She is the heart and soul of the number one box office movie in Greta Gerwig's movie. She's absolutely incredible, that movie. She is what makes the movie an Oscar-winning movie. She's incredible. And she wasn't nominated. And Greta Gerwig also wasn't nominated for Best Director, and the people that were nominated was Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling was incredible in that movie, so I'm not mad at that one. America Ferrera for Best Supporting Actress, I don't know how I feel about that. She's great in the movie, but she's has a fraction to do with the movie more than Margot Robbie, and she's the one that gets nominated. It was an interesting case. But I also was surprised with The Color Purple not getting a nod for Best Picture. That was a good movie. Is it because it was a remake? But we've had remakes. This was a deeper movie, so I don't know how mad I can get at it. But it was a very, very good movie. That being said, a person that was in that movie that also surprised me for a different movie was Colman Domingo and Rustin. I thought it was an interesting movie. I didn't think it was a really good movie. And to have that, he was great in the movie, but I don't know if I would have had him in the lead actor category for a movie like that. I just think that they're so synonymous. I think best actor, best actress is so synonymous with how I feel about the movie. Because if you're a lead actor, you're a lead actress, you are what is carrying the movie. And if I don't feel that if I don't feel like the movie is that good, but I can, you know, tolerate your performance if the writing isn't there. But if the movie isn't that good, I don't think you should be nominated for some of these movies. It's never made sense to me. That being said, Leonardo DiCaprio didn't get nominated for Killers of the Flower Moon. And I thought he was incredible in that movie. He embodied somebody else. It's a role that I've never seen him do before, and he did it with so much grace. I might be biased because I'm a huge Leonardo DiCaprio fan, along with most people, but I was surprised, to say the least. When it comes to, now I want to kind of talk about movies, because like movies that got snubbed, because there was some good movies this year. I don't know how Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles didn't get nominated for best digital movie. It doesn't make any sense to me. That movie was really, really good, as well as The Iron Claw. Iron Claw was an incredibly sad movie, and as a guy who's very close to his brother, got me in my feelings. That one tugs at the heartstrings. I thought Dream Scenario was a really good movie. It's kind of a horror comedy that had Nicolas Cage. Very good movie. Asteroid City, Wes Anderson, another incredible director that made a movie this year that didn't get nominated for anything. It's kind of nuts. Air, the Matt Damon project. What other movies? I think John Wick 4 needed some nominations in the underlying categories. Best visual effects, something. Best sound. The movie's incredible. Doesn't have that much dialogue, so it's fine if it wasn't in the actors or even best picture, but it needed to be nominated for something. It was a good movie. Showing Up, the Kelly Reichardt movie, which really emphasizes the idea of art. And anybody who has created anything can attest to what that movie does and what that movie's aiming to do. It's a really, really important, incredible film. And it wasn't nominated for Best Picture. I was very, very surprised by that. I think when you compare this year's list of movies compared to last year's, you can't tell that there was a strike. Because usually in years of strikes, 2008, it was a very weak year. Let me not say weak year, but like, you know, Oscar-wise. It wasn't really as strong of a movie year. Let me not say movies, TV. But we saw a dip in content, a dip in productivity. And this year, we didn't get that at all. This is an incredible year for movies. Last year, we got some good movies. We had Top Gun. We had Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which won everything, deservedly so. I thought it was very innovative and a great movie. Fablemans was good. Triangle of Sadness. Avatar. Tar. Two Tars. That's interesting. I just realized that. But I feel like outside of that, maybe Triangle of Sadness was good. I don't know if I mentioned that. But, you know, we had Women Talking nominated. I didn't think that was a very good. All Quiet on the Western Front, which is a good movie, but it's a movie we've seen before. It's a World War II flick. you know, tugs at the heartstrings. But, like, you know, I've seen, like, 15 of those. And we get those nominated every time a major movie studio wants to produce one of these movies. Yes, but ultimately, very good year in movies. I wanted to talk about it more in future episodes. So in future episodes, I also wanted to talk about how I wanted to break the movies apart. So I didn't want to talk about all the movies at one time because, like I said before, these are very good movies. So what I want to do is that I want to break down 3 or 4 movies, maybe 5, and I want to do a mini Oscars. I want to do a Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, all of the major categories, and break them into different subsidiaries of those 3-4 movies. So, you know, how we're going to do those movies, I will figure out at a later time. But, I mean, yeah, everyone loves movies. And this year's movies had an array of different feelings. We had the happy-go-lucky movie. We had the depressing movie. But what I think we had the most movies of this year, and what I think that we have an increase in, is thought-provoking movies. Every movie now provokes thought, which in the long run, I think is good. Although I do think we need more brainless fun. I do think, you know, we need some more action movies. I know that, you know, superhero movies came in and filled that void almost too much. But I think we need to get back to, hey, like, I just want to watch an hour and 45 minutes movie and just not think about anything. I just want to see cool stuff happen on screen. I had a rough day at work. Let me just feel something good. You know, you don't want to get home from work and watch an Iron Claw and watch, I don't want to spoil that movie. I was about to. I also want to have some guests on the show, maybe talk about their movies. I don't know how much guests I can get, but, you know, I want to talk to somebody. Actually, if I have some time, I want to talk about movies that I'm looking forward to in 2024. I want to keep these episodes at like half an hour because I went on Google and I said, what is a good time for podcasts? Because I like longer podcasts, but I know that everybody doesn't really like them. And the one that people tend to gravitate towards is the 30 to 45 minutes. So I want to keep it within that time frame. So there's Dune 2, which is incredible. I want to watch that movie. I've loved the Dune series, read those books. What else? Oh, Monkey Man. Monkey Man, I heard, was really good. This is Dev Patel's directorial debut. Don't know what it's about, but that one looked really cool. Challengers, which is from the same director who made Call Me By Your Name. Incredible movie. Timothy Chalamet's debut. Armie Hammer, who's kind of problematic. That's neither here nor there. I'm not a Joker guy, but the new Joker is coming out this year, and I'm interested that it's a musical. It should be interesting, to say the least. Oh, apparently we're getting a Furiosa movie, which is a sequel to Mad Max. I don't know if anybody saw the Mad Max movies. Those are incredible. That's what I was talking about when it's brainless fun. A lot of those movies don't really have that much dialogue. It is just a lot of action and a lot of stunts that don't really have that much CGI. So excited for that one. Deadpool and Wolverine. That one's going to be incredible. I don't know if we're getting Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse this year. But if we do, those are really good movies too. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Who has seen these movies? This is the most underrated franchise, I think, of all time. I know it's only 3 movies that we've seen so far, but these are incredible movies. Matt Reeves, the director who made the new Batman, I've seen very few directors know how to create a world the way he does. he just puts you into that world. That's all we can ask from directors. I think Christopher Nolan, Denis Villeneuve, these directors, I think Matt Reeves has that quality of just putting you in a world. These movies are great. I think, you know, movies like I feel like what trilogy of movies get a lot of hype? I mean, I don't want to go Rocky and Godfather. You know, the Dark Knight movies are really good. Pirates of the Caribbean, very good movies. Like, no, we never bring up Planet of the Apes, but all three of those movies did good business, and they're high in quality. I mean, you can't go wrong with these movies. And we're getting a new iteration. Matt Reeves isn't the director for this movie, I think, but I do think it's building on that world. And I think that if they were to land the plane on these next batch of movies, that is something to keep your eye on. I'll talk more at length. This is kind of just, you know, off the top of my head. We're also getting a sequel for Gladiator 2 this year. That's very interesting. Because I feel like as good as that movie is, I don't know if that really merits a sequel. But, I mean, it's already in post-production. So, Ridley Scott, he's back. That is a random money grab. But yeah, so I think I'm just going to cut the episode here and then just kind of work on the next few episodes. But thank you for listening. I will talk to you guys soon.